Hello and welcome back to the Cornerstone Baptist Church Leeds podcast, Discipleship in Challenging Times. The title for the reflection today is The Road Less Travelled, and it could actually work as a title for the next 5 days, because we're going to be looking at the book of Judges, which is not one that many Christians are familiar with. It's really good to take the opportunity in these times to have a look at some less well-worn paths, some bits of scripture that perhaps we struggle with and can't see the relevance of. So I hope in the next 5 days you're going to stick with this. I hope I'm not going to lose all of my listeners. These may not be familiar passages, but I do believe that they are powerful ones and they speak to us very much at these times. Let's pause, and as we're going to go on a journey through Judges in the next few days, let's ask for what people of old used to call travelling mercies as we go along. Lord, we pray that on this journey through a less well-known part of your word, you would be with us, you would illuminate your scripture for us, you'd help us to reflect on the Lord Jesus and all that he means for us, because that's so important. Help us to hear your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first reading is Judges chapter 3. And verse 7 to 11. And then I'm going to read just one verse from the final chapter of Judges. So chapter 21 and verse 25. First of all, chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram-Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for eight years. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. So the land had peace for 40 years, until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. And then the final verse. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. That's chapter 21 and verse 25. I stumbled over one or two of those names there. It doesn't matter how often you've practiced a reading from Scripture. When there are tongue-twisting names, you often stumble over them. What are we to make of the book of Judges? Well, it's a very challenging book, and it's a very violent book. If you do read it through from beginning to end, as I encourage you to do if you have the time to do so, then there will be lots that is written that you will recoil from, that you will find difficult. There is death and there is betrayal, there is sadness, all sorts of things are going on. These are difficult days for the people of Israel. And there is a basic cycle that we see in this first little set of verses about Othniel. First of all, there is sin. Then there is oppression. Then in verse 9, we get to repentance, that is, a turning back to God. Then there is God's deliverance. And then the land and the people, verse 11, are at peace. But then, sadly, the cycle happens all over again, but worse. The deliverers who come along are increasingly flawed, their actions more bloody, the stories get more and more disturbing. We might picture this as a great whirlpool. We're being swirled around and around in a cycle. But like with a whirlpool, it's not just a circular thing. We're being dragged down. We're going around and around this cycle of sin, oppression, repentance, deliverance, and peace. But each time it gets deeper and more difficult and more troubling. This is a searingly honest, deeply sobering examination of the human condition without God. It points to the need for a king. And at the end of the book, King David is about to come along, anointed by God. But he fails too, just as the earthly kings of Israel and Judah who follow him also fail. And so the cycle is repeated. Indeed, with the kings of the Old Testament, again, it's a whirlpool, and the whirlpool gets deeper and deeper as king after king arises who is more flawed than the one before. Where is hope? Well, ultimately, Judges points us forward. It shows us what the Puritans used to call the exceeding sinfulness of sin. But it shows us something more. It shows us the need of a king. As the verse 25 at the end of the book used to be rendered in traditional versions, there was no king in these days. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. No king, no hope. King David comes, he promises hope, but in the end, David cannot save. But there is a king who is coming. Judges forces us to look forward. And we see that the King Jesus finally arrives. He will forgive sin, deliver his people from oppression, create in them a deep repentance, deliver them by his death and resurrection, and bring them his perfect peace. Jesus says in John 20, "Peace be with you." And it's an authentic, it's a real, it's a perfect peace. Yes, in the days of Judges, for a while the Lamb was at peace, but that peace never lasted. There was no king. But with King Jesus, there is a perfect and a permanent peace. We thank God today for his deliverance. We thank God for Jesus. And it's good to reflect on these things in these days where maybe we feel that we're living in the land of judges. We're whirled around. We don't know which way to turn. We're not sure where deliverance is coming from. And yet we believe in and we follow the King of Kings. It's not the same as the time of Judges, because there is a king and he is on the throne and his name is Jesus. Take comfort, be assured that he is king and that he will bring his wonderful deliverance and his perfect and everlasting peace. I want to pray especially today for our land as it is swirled around in confusion and indeed for our world. So let's pray. Lord, we lift before you today all who are trapped in sin and oppression. Those who damage others, perhaps following on from the way that they were damaged themselves. Lord, our world is full of sin and shame, of injustice. Lord, we lift our world to you, a world that seems perhaps like the land of the judges, and we pray that you would come by the Holy Spirit and pour out your forgiveness. Thank you that your church is growing all over the world. Lord, we pray that this present crisis wouldn't set your church back. Rather, we pray that in your way, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it would actually be a spur to men and women seeking you, turning to you in real repentance, crying out to you as we see the nation crying out to you in this reading. May you deliver them. May you bring your perfect peace. Lord, for those who are unwell today, for those who are under pressure in the workplace, for those who are working in different places in our nation, in hospitals and in schools, with those who are seeking to bring benefits, financial benefits to others, those working in the Department of Work and Pensions, the equivalents in other countries. Lord, we could go on and we could name a long list. If you're listening and you're working today, insert your own name and your profession at this point. Lift yourself to God, and we lift all who are working to you today. And Lord, for all of those who are struggling with coronavirus, perhaps nursing someone that they love, perhaps suffering themselves, Lord, we pray for your deliverance and your perfect peace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you give a peace not as the world gives, but a peace that is your shalom, your wholeness. A peace that is not dependent on outward circumstances or indeed on inward ones. A peace that can abide in the middle of the storm. Even so, breathe your shalom on us today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.